Welcome to our program today and this week. This is Mike Moody along with Mark Beebe and Jeff Buckles. We're in 1 Timothy starting chapter 6 today, and we are looking, Lord willing, to go through this chapter, at least most of it, the remainder of the week. Let's look to our Lord in prayer. Father, again, we come before you. We lift up the name that's above every name, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for him that has washed us from our sins. Father, we just pray for those that are listening that may not have received this and believe it in their heart. We pray, Father, for those that are Christians, that you might encourage us, Father, as we know that we all have feet that are dirty through this world. We that are saved, we still have the defilement of this world. Each day we walk through this world, and we need to be restored and refreshed. So we just pray that you would guide us today and just lead us as we need to grow closer to you. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's begin by giving a brief overview of the chapter. And Lord willing, before too long, maybe the next time I'm with you, we'll be into 2 Timothy. But here in chapter 6, we see the first couple of verses speaking of exhortation to servants and masters. And we'll look at that briefly. Then we see from verse 3 on down to the end of the chapter, primarily to verse 19, we see some great comparisons. We see here in verse 3 to 5, it speaks of gain, speaking of those that suppose that gain is godliness, which is contrary to Scripture. Then it is compared and contrasted with verse 6, 7, and 8, which instead of supposing that gain is godliness, we see the contrast is that godliness with contentment is great gain. Then we see our second point, that verses 9 to 10, it speaks of those that fall into temptation, compared to verses 11 to 12, when it speaks of those that flee these things that are contrary to the word. Fall compared to fleeing. And also in that same section, it speaks of the love of money as the root of all evil compared to following after righteousness. So there we would compare roots and righteousness. Then in verse 13 to 16, it speaks of a charge. I give thee charge in the sight of God. That's a popular statement in the Word of God, and particularly in the pastoral epistles. I give thee charge in the sight of God. Then it's compared with verse 17 to 19, where there's a charge. Paul charges them that are rich in the world. Now, so we can back up, and we'll, Lord willing, look at these three great comparisons at the middle portion of chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. But today, let's begin at the first couple of verses where we see here that certainly there is much that needs to be said about our behavior in the workplace. We see here, as it's been brought to my attention in recent days and weeks because of a situation in my own job of possibly changing roles and positions, and I wanted to be right and ethical in my own actions, yet sometimes there's disagreement among others about how people around you are acting, and it makes you wonder if ones are allotting you with their actions, and we don't want to give any appearance of reproach. So I've just been concerned recently that I would handle these things, and praying that I handle things in an honest, ethical way, and there would be no other appearance from my part before the Lord of any other action. So we see here in chapter 6, first couple of verses, of course you know in the first century that there was slavery still, and when it speaks of servants and masters, we keep that in mind, but we apply that today to the workplace, to those that are the employer and employee situation. Here it says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Here we see, we think of how the employee being a Christian, and we think of the master being an unsaved man, an employer. So here it says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. We might have an unsaved boss, so to speak, in our workplace, but we still should give him honor, for we are to do a good, honest day's work in the workplace. For we realize that even though they're lost and we're saved, we have eternal life before us and they do not. We must realize that God has told us that we are to be godly in all areas of our life, including our workplace. So we need to treat them with honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Now just think of how similar into a marriage that's unequally yoked. Having one spouse saved and one in the marriage not, if that comes about, as we looked at in, I believe it was on another radio station, but we were studying 1 Peter, and on that particular station we run across the part when you have a saved spouse married to an unsaved one. It could have been that they were both unsaved when they were initially married, and then one received Christ, because we know that the plan A, the way that the Word of God tells us, is that we should never intentionally go into a marriage that unequally yoked, meaning that if you're saved, that you should never intentionally marry an unsaved person. And that should be pretty easily discerned, but sometimes, especially young people, may not use good discernment in that. But that is an exhortation today. If you're a Christian, and you're especially a young person, pray and look and use discernment, because when the emotions start moving, sometimes people will say they're a Christian just to satisfy that girl they want to marry them or that fella. And if the other person just haphazardly says, well, hey, mom, dad, he says he's saved. And then you find out after you've been married for 3 months that you've made a mistake. Because if you're saved and you get into that situation, the Word of God says, the believer should not leave the unbeliever. If the unbeliever wants to dwell with you, it's up to them if they leave. So once you've made that step into a marriage, we should stay in the marriage. So anyway, I said that because when you have an unequally yoked situation, it is very difficult, because this is a lifetime situation. But if you knowingly go into this situation, you're asking for trouble. But now, I said that because we apply an unequally yoked situation, if you can use that terminology, here in the workplace. It's not so much a yoke as it is he being your master, him being your boss. The reason I made this comparison is that we are a testimony before them, just as the saved person in a marriage is a testimony to the unsaved spouse, if that happens to be the case. We as workers, employees, we are testimonies. We are to be a testimony before that unsaved boss that we have. For if we are not living up to what we profess, then that unsaved boss can use that to bring scorn and reproach and will reject the things of Christ. So when we say that, we keep that in mind, because it's very important that we are Christian in our walk, in our way throughout. You know, there's been times, all of us probably, I know myself, that when you may have said something, or you may have maybe not been as patient with someone, or whatever the case, whether it be in the workplace, or whether it be in your neighborhood, or wherever, and then later you just really feel terrible, for you just think that may have really hurt somebody that's not saved and how they view a true believer. So we must keep our minds conscious before how we behave ourselves. I know from experience that sometimes that we look back and say, I wish I'd handled that a little better and been more patient. Although we need to stand and earnestly contend for the faith, sometimes it's just a lack of us losing our own patience or God forbid, losing your temper. This can happen to a Christian. So, let's keep in mind here, as it says, let as many servants are as under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. This term is used a couple of times, that the word of God be not blasphemed. It's interesting. It's also mentioned in Titus, where it speaks there as an encouragement to the different age groups. I believe it would be found in Titus 2:4. It's speaking of young women, that they're to be sober and love their husbands and to love their children, to be discreet, to be chaste, to be keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So when you, as you might be a Christian woman, Christian wife, Christian mother, listening to this tape, don't be discouraged. If you're staying at home with your children and looking to raise them in a godly way, you may be even teaching them at home, or regardless of how you're going about the education of the children, you may be looking to follow the Lord and His instruction in this area. Don't be discouraged. The world doesn't appreciate you, but we know that people like myself appreciate godly women that are looking to raise their children in the way the Word of God tells us, to be an example to them. And here it says, do these things, young women, so that the Word of God be not blasphemed, so that the Word of God will not be brought under reproach by the actions of us. So here the same terminology is used as we are to treat our unsaved masters in the workplace with honor, respect, so that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. Then as we move to verse 2, and they that have believing masters, here's a little difference, let them not despise them, because they are brethren. In other words, here we want to say, as Christians, when we have a Christian boss, employer, let us not take advantage of them because they're a Christian. We may say, well, hey, they're a believer, we have something in common, we can take advantage of them. We need to be very careful of this. But rather, do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. You know, when we work together in a workplace, we all reap of the benefits of a company that's doing well and things are orderly and such as that. But we are not to despise them that are Christians that are above us in the workplace. It says, teach these things, teach and exhort. We need to exhort one another, for most Christians are in what we say the secular workplace. Some of you listening are retired. Some of you may be students. Some of you may spend most of your time in what we say ministry area, and maybe not out in the secular field. But regardless, we need to exhort one another to godliness. This is Mike Moody, along with Jeff Buckles and Mark Beebe, for the Two Roads and Two Destinies radio ministry. Join us tomorrow from 1 to 1:15. Thank you.